continue from yesterday, the Nanuim, so the past two Shirim on Nanuim. One Ha'ara I forgot to mention yesterday, mentioned today, the Tosos and the Lamzayim Rebbeis Behodu had a discussion about the Shliach Tzibor and the Tzibor, their dialogue, if you will, during Hallel, where the Shliach Tzibor says, Hodu Lashem, we respond, Hodu Lashem. Shliach Tzibor says, Yomarna, we respond, Hodu Lashem. Yomuna, Hodu Lashem. That whole dialogue we have with the Shliach Tzibor during Hallel. Now, who exactly does the Nanuim? When do we do Nanuim? So there are three basic shitas in the Rishonim. Tosfos writes that each time that the Tzibor responds, Hodu Lashem, the Tzibor themselves shake the lulav, but the Shliach Tzibor does not. Only when the Shliach Tzibor actually says Hodu does he shake the lulav, but when he says Yomarna or Yomuna, the Shliach Tzibor does not. The Tzibor always says, whenever they always shake it when they say Hodu. That's the first shita. Second shita in Tosfos, the Tosfos says, Yesh Mefarshim Af Shliach Tzibor Menanea Agav Tzibura. The Shliach Tzibor says, even though they themselves are not saying Hodu Lashem, they're saying Yomarna, Yomuna, whatever it is, since the response of the Tzibor is Hodu Lashem, that warrants that the Shliach Tzibor should also do the shaking. Even though, again, the Shliach Tzibor doesn't say Hodu, they still will shaking since their Amira will invite a response of a Hodu by the Tzibor. Those are the two Shittas in Tosfos. Again, Shliach Tzibor says it or doesn't say it, and the Tzibor always shakes it, rather. Always shakes it. And then the Shita in the Ran is the third Shita that, in fact, nobody shakes it when the response is Yomarna Hodu Lashem, Yomarna Hodu Lashem. So those are the three Shitas. Everyone get that again. Either both of them shake at the Yomarna, the Shliach Tzibor and the Tzibor, none of them shake during those, or maybe only the Tzibor does, but not the Shliach Tzibor. Those are the three Shitas. The question is, what is the Svara behind this machlokas? Any suggestions? Jake knows?
He only
knows better. I like the Chavrusa.
It depends whether the first opinion thinks that Hodu is...
What's the first opinion?
Whenever you say Hodu... That's when
The Tzibor does it?
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the Chazan is saying. Because any time the Tzibor is going to respond Hodu, then they shake, which shows that it's all about Hodu. The Hodu creates, it's just an objective thing, that the Hodu creates the Nanuim. And the other ones...
I mean, whenever you say the word Hodu, then you have to enhance that Hodu with the Nanuim. And since the Shliach Tzibor Lamaisa isn't saying Hodu...
So then he doesn't, but we don't care about that. And therefore, we don't really view that there's a connection between the Shliach Tzibor and the Tzibor at all. It's just a matter of whether you say Hodu or not.
Okay.
And the other Shitas are more focused on, the Shita that says... The other Shitas are more focused on whether the Iker Koach or the Iker Chiyuv to say... basically, the question is, how do you view the Tzibor in relation to the Shliach Tzibor? Do we view the Shliach Tzibor as, like, whatever he says as hazmana for the Tzibor itself, and therefore the Tzibor is really the Iker, and therefore if they're saying Hodu, and we view the Shliach Tzibor as hazmana for their Hodu, then he gets, like, attached onto their koach, so to speak, and therefore he will also be able to have the ability to say Hodu. Or the other side, no, that really the Iker is the Shliach Tzibor himself, and we only view the Tzibor as answering the Tzibor, and therefore, if the Shliach Tzibor said Hodu, then we give the ability for the Tzibor to shake in response to him. So, is it a hazmana, or is it more a response to the Tzibor?
So, in other words, what you're only saying is that what the Shliach Tzibor says is that the Iker, or what the Tzibor says is that the Iker. First approach is Shliach Tzibor is the Iker. Let's say that one. Shliach Tzibor, what they say, Yomarna is an Iker, and when the Tzibor responds Hodu, it's basically like saying Amen. They're responding, yes, I agree to what they said. The Hodu is not really the Iker part. The Hodu is just a response, an Amen of some sort. So therefore, you wouldn't shake when you said that Hodu, because that Hodu is serving simply as a response, not as a Iker expression of Hoda. The other approach was, that no, really the Iker statement is what the Tzibor says. Whenever Tzibor says Hodu Lashem, Hodu Lashem, Hodu Lashem, that's a real kriya of Hoda. It's a real expression of Hoda. And all that the Shliach Tzibor is doing, he's inviting them to say Hodu. They says Yomarna, and we respond Hodu Lashem. It's a hazmana for the Hodu. So since the Shliach Tzibor is creating a hazmana for Hodu, hazmana itself is a chelek of the Hoda itself. And we spoke last week, the Rav had this comparison to Baruch Hu. When the Shliach Tzibor says Baruch Hu, it's just just inviting us to respond with a bracha. So that hazman itself is kilu some, it has a chelek in the actual bracha. Here too also, when the shliach tzibur says, Yomarna, Yomuna, it's an inviting the tzibur to respond hodu, and it has a chelek in the hodah. That's why the shliach tzibur would shake during Yomarna, even though the words aren't being said. In conceptual terms, it is a hazmana, it is a chelek in the hodah itself. As opposed to, again, the other other tad, the hodu l'ashem of the tzibur is not a hodah, it's really just an amen, it's a response, it's amen, and we would not categorize it as hodah, and would not warrant a nanum. So those are the three shittas, and the other shittas, and Tosfos again, that no, they're two independent things. Tzibur says what they say, the hodu l'ashem, and they shake, and the shrik tzibur says what he says, and he doesn't shake. It's all about whether you say actually hodah or you don't say hodah. So those are the explanation in those that relationship, just an interesting way how to view the dialogue between the shliach tzibur and the tzibur themselves during our halal. So now we're going right to the Gemara, continuing on the discussion Nanuim, trying to keep in mind, for those who were yesterday, some of the ideas of why we do Nanuim. Is it Nanuim a way of simcha, of rejoicing in the halal? Is it to lisorer, the Miri said, in order to create simcha, or is it really a response to the simcha, either response to the Chag HaAsif, gathering all the fruits that Yoni mentioned, the Sefer Chinuch said, we're happy we got all the fruit of the from the we collected all year, or is it really a rejoicing because we came out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we came out Zakai, we came out innocent, it's a response. So those are some ideas in the category of simcha, or perhaps it's a shevach v'hoda, we're praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim, perhaps, as the Lashon Latoso says, it's a shevach. And the other approach we had was a hiddur mitzvah. That was the yireim. So those are some of the ideas. What exactly is Nanuim doing? Is it simcha? Is it shavach? Is it hiddur mitzvah? So keeping those in mind, let's read through the Gemara now and some of the reasons behind this and the Tosfos. So the Gemara says as follows. Nanuim ma'an dachar shmei. Whoever mentioned Nanuim, the Mishnah says, Heichan hayu menanin. Where, when do we do Nanuim? And the Gemara says, we never mentioned you have to do Nanuim to ask when do you do it. Now, Hasam Kai, it's referring to the first mission in the parak, Kol Lulav Sheyesh Bo Shloshet Tfachim, Kidei Linanea Bo Kasher, a lulav that's three tfachim tall, tall enough to shake it. We're going back on that Mishnah, it must be that there's a chiv to do Nanuim, and that's why the Mishnah here asks, the Kamar Heichem Nanin, and the Gemara, the Mishnah here asks, so when do you do the Nanuim? So now the Gemara brings a Mishnah, a very interesting Mishnah. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah of Menachos is as follows, Shtei Alechem, Mishnei Chivsei Atzeres, the two breads, and the two kvasim that were brought on Shavuos, Ketan Huose, how do you bring it? Meniach shtei halechem agavi shnei kvasim, you place the two lechem on top of the two kvasim, umeniach yadu tachten, you place your hand underneath it, umeniach, you wave it, umolich, umevi, you bring it back and forth, dimalim morid, you bring it up and down, shenem asher hunaf asher huram. Based on the pasuk, there's a ha'anafa, there's a bring back and forth, and there's a harama up and down. So this mission is very interesting. What does the mission have anything to do with lulav?
Is it an Indian of shaking? An Indian of waving?
By this, by the Shtei Alechem and Shnei Kivsei Atzeres. So is this just a technical connection of some sort? Maybe. No, that we shake the lulav and you shake the Shnei Alechem, or is there some more fundamental point? So I know Yoni mentioned something today. What did you mention to me last week about this mission? It seems pretty random. Right, so we've mentioned in the past numerous times that there's a mahalach that the dalam minim, one approach is dalam minim is about halel and simcha, as this Mishnah seems to imply, but the other approach was that dalam minim was a din karbanos and a ritzoy. That's why the Rambam refers to all the psulim of dalam minim as mumim. He calls them mumim, borrowing a term used by karbanos. We saw many times Tosfos all over seems to like this idea. Tosfos in the beginning by Yavesh, he uses the model of a bechor, a behema, a karbon, a bechor as the model of Yavesh. So this Mishnah here also, the Gemara bringing this Mishnah may indicate this fundamental connection that just like lulav is a din karbon, that's why we could compare it to Menachos, which is also a karbon.
Well, this is just on the svara level, because is there a hekesh for this? Do they bring any sort of hekesh?
No hekesh, but at least for me, from a svara level.
Yeah,
it's true. So this Gemara, you might want to bring this Gemara, the fact that it brings this mission and compares the two, this might be a raya that such a concept exists. Fine. So now the Gemara is going to get into, so what is the point? What are you trying to accomplish by waving in all these different directions? So Amar Reb Yochanan, Molichu Mevi, you bring back and forth, L'mi Sha'ar Baruchos Shalo, to he who's all the different directions are his, namely God, of course. Malil Morud, you bring it up and down. Lemisha Shemaim Va'aretz Shelo, again, the Shemaim and Aretz are that of God. So that's where we're shaking or waving to. The Marava Masnu, Hachi, they had a different approach in the West. Amar Reb Chama Bar Ukva, Amar Yosi Bar Rabbi Chanina, Molichu Mevi Kidei Latzer Ruchos. No, you bring it back and forth to stop all the evil spirits. Malo Morid Kidei Latzer Tlon Ram, to stop all the evil, what, like rains and stuff. So Amar Reb Yosi Bar Avin, Vitim Reb Yosi Bar Zivliya, Zos Omeris, this is what comes to teach us. Shirari Mitzvah Ma'akvinis HaPuronios. The leftover mitzvahs is what protects us from bad things happening. What does he mean by Shirari Mitzvah? Shirei Tnufa Shirari Mitzvah. The Tnufa, the waving of the karbanos, is a leftover type of a mitzvah. Vot Saras Ruchos Vitzlalim Ram, and it stops all these bad evil spirits. Why is it considered Shirari Mitzvah? Anybody see the Rashi? Because lichatchila, one should do the tenufa on the karbanos. You should wave it up and down and back and forth. Lichatchila, you should do that. But if you don't do it, you're still mechaper. But if you do it, though, and it's best to do it, it actually stops these ruchos, raos, and stuff, or roim. Right, so these are the two approaches. So how do we understand these two approaches in the this more machshava, the agarata here? But how do we understand these two approaches, whether it's about the arba ruchos shalo, or whether it's about the lats or ruchos, raos? What's the difference of these opinions here? What are they arguing about on a machshava level? Every time you saw the marsha, anything on the marsha?
Go on.
So the marsha, in terms of the shtelach and being shaken, he compares it to the lupus. The other things involved in this combination somehow equate to standing for Torah. And I guess the first sheet holds basically that you're using this, when you're holding this, whatever, this combination of Kvasim and Shtei Lechem, so you're holding this Torah, it's standing for Torah. And when, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're maybe the Misha Avarucho Shalo, it's kind of like the Torah is the thing that's being Mekayim, the thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to be Mekayim the world in a positive way. As opposed to the other Shita, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says, Molchum Mimik De Latzer Rukos Ros, the Torah, the way the Maharsha phrases it, it's a mugging, it's a protection. The way the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the Torah, I guess, in the natural world, for whatever, if we can use it for us, it's more on a prevention level, to prevent bad things from happening.
Right, exactly. So these two days, Eitan's explaining, based on the Maharsha, one's ase tov, one's like the positive, doing good, and one's sur meira, one's avoiding the evil, defending from the ruchos raos, and he used that in the function of the Torah, because he explained that shnei alechem, the two loaves of bread that were used in this karbon, represent the shnei luchos, and the each lechem was beis esronim, had like a ten, the tenth with a shear, that represents aser sedibros, and he goes on to explain further how shtei alechem, which obviously makes sense with shavuos, where we receive the Torah, it's all about Kabbalah Satorah, so Torah serves two functions, and that was the two approaches. One, the Torah is mekayim in a positive way, mekayim olamo, and on the other hand, it also defends, it protects us from the evil, and that's what's going on with these 2 days here. That's the approach of the Maharsha. The Rishimus, Rav Soloveitchik, also had, you know, one a positive approach, one was a negative approach, but he wasn't coming from a Torah angle necessarily. He was going more from how we should view our role versus God in this world. And it says, in understanding Kabbalah's Olmul Chashamayim, so you could either take the approach of Romus Habore, the greatness of the Creator, or you could take the approach of Shiflas HaAdam, the humility, the lowness of the people. So that's exactly what's going on in these two opinions. The first opinion of Arbal's Rucho Shalo is the godless of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Romus Habore, as he said it. And the second approach is about the La'at or Ruchos Ram, to prevent the evil spirit. That's protecting ourselves, how weak we are, how little control we have. We're trying to protect from that, and that's showing the humility of man. So he says that's Kriyashma, on one hand, is the representation of the Romus HaBorei, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Tefillah, we bring ourselves down to Shiflas HaAdam, And he goes on to explain in Rosh Yom Kippur some of the Lashonos we use, but not that, like the Maharsha was a din how the Torah is viewed. The Torah is, again, Mikaim Ha'olamo, versus to protect us from the evil spirits. Rather, he takes from the person how our perspective should be, whether it's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus the Shiflas Adam, the humility of man. Now, back to the Gemara. There's a third approach in the Gemara about what the function of these nanum are. Again, it's just good to know these things. One, the Gemara says it. Number two is to appreciate what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, rather on Sukkot, what we do. It's a very strange thing. If you ask what's the weirdest thing that Jews do, this may be one of the weirdest things we do. Walking around with dal minim, carrying branches, a lemon-looking thing, and some leaves, might be the weirdest thing we do. No? Anything else as weird as that? I would say Purim, perhaps, walking around in costumes, but they do that also, so it's not as weird to them. Drinking, they do the same thing St. Patrick's Day. Dal minim might be the one of the weirdest things. No? Anything else that's that weird? So, yeah?
Sukkah
also. Sukkah? I don't know, like sitting outside, sitting in a booth. There's so many of them, right? Blowing the shofar, that's not... But either way, so dal minim are pretty weird. So I guess it's good for us to know exactly what we're trying to, what we're accomplishing here, and of course try to understand the Gemara. So there is a third approach in the Gemara here, what exactly we're trying to accomplish here. The Gemara in Lam Nechesim and Aleph continues, V'amar Rava V'chein B'lulav, we didn't read it last time, Lulav has the same concepts. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mamtilei U'maisila Amar Din Gira Be'enai Desatna. We're trying to poke the eye, if you will, out of the Satan and the Yetzirah. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. And Rashi explains, Hareze lochatz be'enav shel satan, we're trying to poke his eye, Sheroa be'enav, Shein bo koach linasek me'alenu ol mitzvos. By poking his eye out of some sort, we're trying to prevent him from seeing what we're doing, that will hopefully protect us. And the Gemara says, V'lav milsehi, that's not a good approach, because mishum to'asi li'igrei be, if you're going to anger him, it's going to upset him, he's going to try to attack us even more than that, so don't mess with the satan, don't try to just do whatever you can. So what's he talking about exactly, the lulav, the dalamim, connection to the satan here? This is weird, right? Where else do we find this? Anyone know any other mitzvah we have such a concept?
Talmud Torah, isn't that?
Shofar, right, the shofar. Exactly, shofar. We're trying to...
It's a little different. Though.
Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah?
Here you're starting up. Here you're instigating.
Uh-huh.
There we're trying to just,
peace.
So that might be why the mitzvah by the shofar, we do stop. We're okay with that, but here we're not, right?
We don't want to arouse any controversy.
Right, so... That's probably true. But why did the Gemara even bring that up? Why did the concept of the Satan come up dafka by Lulav and by Shofar? Why, what's unique about these two mitzvahs? Any connection?
The time of judgment. Yeah.
And right, so it's just the general time, the times of judgment of some sort.
Right.
Yidon Alamayim. Machsuk is about Alamayim, right? Chag Alamayim. So these are days of judgment. These are days of Rosh Hashanah. So... the Gilni Ashas, which I just find so interesting, Gilni Ashas all over, it's Rav Shechter's favorite sefer, yet all over he has a ton of machshava points, deep-rooted Kabbalistic points. Rav Shechter is not the biggest fan of Kabbalah, but Gilni Ashas, one of his favorite sefarim, oftentimes brings these things in, and I feel the need to mention as well. He says one of the concepts of Lulav is about Chias, giving life, a source of life, and that's why one of the reasons why can't you use a yavesh, a lulav yavesh? Why is it possible? What are the sources we use? Lameis mi'aluka, because you can't have dead people giving praise. So that's why a lulav yavesh, a dry lulav, can't be used. Lulav dal minim suk is all about chias, giving life. He says the same thing by shofar. He quotes a pasuk based on Yerushalmi and other Rishonim that chayi hakeren, the life of the keren. Keren is a reference to shofar. So of some sort, these both shofar and lulav is a reference to, it's about symbolic of life and chias, and the satan's coming to take away our lives. So that's exactly why these two mitzvahs particularly were going up against the satan. He also points out that there are 18 chai nanuim we shake during for the dalaminim. So lulav is really about chias and life. So that's the connection, according to the Gionei Shasra of Yosef Engel. But those are some nice ideas, some machshava points. Now let's go through this Tosis on the bottom of Lam Zayin Beis to some of the Lamdisha stuff we've been mentioning about Nanuim. So Tosis on the bottom right, Kedei La'atza Ruchos Raos, in order to prevent the evil spirits. He writes that Perek Kol HaManachos Bo'os Matzah, and that Perek, Choshev Kol HaTu'unim Tenufa. There are many more listed on that Mishnah, what other karbanos we actually do this tenufa, shaking, bring back and forth, going up and down. He asks an implicit question, why exactly are those not mentioned here? V'shema lo b'chol tenufos osim kein. Maybe all the other ones we don't do such a rigorous type of tenufa. Maybe there's only once up and down. Here we do up and down, back and forth, left and right. Maybe only by these two cases of shtei lechem and lulav do we do such a tenufa. Why? Why dafka here? Dafka p'tenufa shtei lechem datzeres v'chein lulav. Why these two? Mishum d'amrina perakama d'Rosh Hashanah. We say in the first parak of Rosh Hashanah the gzar din nechta mepesach al tefua. Right, the gzar din the decree is sealed on Pesach for tefua. Bat Saras al Peres Ilan and Evan Bechag al ha Mayim. Right, you said it before, right? There used to be Shlosher Golem. We get judged on these three different things. So perhaps the reason Lechach Hananua Shebulov Yesh Bahalach of Abba. That's why perhaps these particular times on Sukkot and on Shavuos we do the shaking. So he doesn't elaborate. Seth and Ephraim were talking to me before. What exactly does he mean by that? He didn't explain. He says these days are days of Rosh Hashanah. How does that connect to the Nanuim, though? Why would that be a reason for doing Nanuim? The judgment. I'm saying, why the judgment? Why would that require a Nanuim?
Instead of Nanuim? If you're gonna go up in court, you want to, you know, butter them up a little bit.
By shaking some flowers in their face, we'll butter up the judge.
If that's what the judge wants you to do, then you gotta do it. If that's what the judge wants you to do, then that's what you gotta do.
Uh-huh. Perhaps.
Well, I don't know the Kabbalah of the Ezra, but
It's possible in light of the rush that we saw yesterday and the day before, or the shir before, what's the reason for the rush? What's the reason for the Nanuim, for the rush? Simcha. But he elaborated, it wasn't just Simcha. What created it such a Simcha? The Medrash, right? What did the Medrash say? Exactly. Walked out innocent. Walked out scot-free from the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're so happy we're shaking the Dal Aminim. So perhaps that's what he means as well. Tells us that these two times where we get judged and hopefully judged innocently, we walk out shaking the Shtei Lechem, we walk out shaking the Dal Aminim, and it's perhaps for those reasons. It's a simcha in response to the judge.
What would that have to do with the din of Peres HaIman and something like that? Yeah, what Tos says that the reason... It might only apply this because by Shavuos is, you know, is a din of Peros, and by Sukkot is a din of mind.
We get, those are also Rosh Hashanahs. We get judged for those particular things on those days. On Sukkot we're getting judged for the amount of water or parnasa, right. Symbolic of parnasa of the year. So since I guess we're hoping we get judged favorably, so that's why we're perhaps shaking in excitement.
So far, Nanuim and Tenufa is the same thing?
Yes. Yeah, and the Gemara says we had all the different reasons, and the Gemara says v'chein balulov, so too balulov. So it seems like the shaking, the directions, and the reason behind them would be the same. Yeah. Do you see anybody who distinguishes?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Who? He does. Yeah, I didn't see that. Where?
Sagos and Ravid.
Ramban has Sagos and Ravid on the Hilchos Lulav. How'd you find that?
Ramana.
And Gemara, what does he say?
She said that there's halacha of there's the four directions.
Yeah.
And then there's also Nanuim, which is a little, he calls it
Kiskus. Oh, Ketanos. Okay, oh, that issue. Okay, okay, but I didn't get so involved in that issue, but is he mechalik from a fundamental stance, do you know? That he wants to be mechalik carbonos versus the aluminum? Okay. Right, we didn't get to the action. We're not going to get to the action so much. In a second, we'll get to some of them, but really just to get to a more fundamental point. I didn't spend too much time on the Nanuim Gedolim versus Ketanim, but there might be some fundamental points there also. Maybe might be worthwhile, but I didn't spend the time on it. Okay. So again, that perhaps might be some of the reasoning of Tosu's answer, that why Dafka on Atzeres and Sukkot we shake, we do the Nanuim, because those are days of judgment. And like the Rush says, we hopefully come out of the day of judgment judge favorably, and therefore we shake with excitement. Any other possible explanations of this? Can't think of anything else. Anybody else? Anything creative, Evan?
Not right now.
Not right now. Okay, fine. So so going by through now in Tosu says, how exactly are the Nanuim done? What is the mice of shaking them? So uva'aruch perish be'erech na The Aruch explains the Isa B'Yushalmi. Yushalmi writes, Tzarech l'nanea gimel pamim. You have to do three times, I'll call davar v'davar. Three times in each direction. So what exactly does that mean? By Rabbi Zera, hochin chad v'hochin chad. Do you do once, bring it once, that counts as two, and then the third time, that's three times? Or, oh, dilma hochin v'hochin chad. Back and forth, that's considered one. Back and forth, that's considered two. Back and forth, it's considered three. Or is each direction considered one, and then two, three, and you're done? Are you doing three back and forth, or really six back and forth? That's the question. So, Perish. Kvar amart amris tzarech ninua gimel pamim. Already said you need three times of a nanua. Rabbi, Rabbi Zera, halacha pam achas v'haba pam achas. Is halacha one time, haba second time? Or halacha v'haba pam achas, or do we consider them ka'achas nechshavim? Are they considered one? V'tzarech l'holich l'havi shlosha pamim? Fine, that's the question the Yushalmi has brought in the Aruch. Tamin Tanina Benida, there's a Mishanida Perak Isha that writes, Gavi Shiva Smanin Mavirna al Kesim. There's a Kesim, there's some spot, they're not sure if it's Dam Nida or not. You can mix seven spices up, you rub it over the Kesim. If it gets removed or not removed, it's a way of telling whether it's actual Dam or not. V'tzarech l'chaschech shlosh pamim, you have to like rub it three times. Akol Echad for each of the spices that you use. Rabbi Zeir has the same question, Bay Hochen Chad V'Hochen Chad. What does three times mean? Does it do one? Or like two of them is considered, like how exactly do you do the counting here? Oh, hachin v'hachin chad, or really you count the back and forth all as one. V'lo ivshit, there's no answer. The chayman del ivshit av dina l'chumra, shlosh pamim kol echad v'echad ad kan. And since we don't know the answer, we go l'chumra, we have to do back and forth is one, another back and forth is two, another back and forth is three, that's l'chumra. So we do a lot of them. So what exactly is behind this psak? Does this psak make any sense? Why would he go to Chumrah?
Wait, and that's still not what we do. Why is that a Chumrah? Do we still do that?
Yeah.
Are we doing, is he talking about what we do today?
We do that today. We go, that's one, two, okay. Three. Okay. Some people, the question we're not going to get into is, are you supposed to be shaking it while you're doing it?
Right, okay. Or that's, just,
that's right, that's a different question. That's what Eitan was talking about, the Ramban, like these Nanum Ketanim and stuff. During the bigger Nanua, do you do like small shakes also? We're not going to get into that, but Eitan pointed out it might be fundamental how you connect it to Karbanos. I didn't think about that.
Why is doing more l'chumra?
Because isn't that more stringent if you have to do more than less?
Yeah, but I think no, for sure. But I'm saying to get the stain out. Don't you want the stain to come out?
Oh, so in terms of the stain there?
Yeah, that would be l'chumra because it's giving you more room to like get out of that.
That's an interesting question.
That's
interesting.
Right,
I guess you have to
figure out what... It's for your benefit. That's not chumra on you.
Right. Okay. No, I hear the question.
Well, what are you rubbing? What are you rubbing?
Chumra b'sula by b'sula, I don't remember.
Don't quote me on this. Okay. I'm just that better.
Donnie Joseph.
Wait, so what exactly are you rubbing for? You're not rubbing to get it out.
You're rubbing to just test it, to test
right.
what the story
so
is.
But
if you're rubbing it more, it's more likely to come out, though. If it's more likely to come out, then it's not going to be Damnida and end up being a kula for the husband and wife. I think that's the point. I hear the point. I hear. Okay, so I'm not sure, but let's say, at least for our case.
Yeah.
What's the basis for this psak l'chumra for doing more nanum? What's the general klal we have? Right. Safek deraisa l'chumra, safek derban l'kula. What's the status of this mitzvah of nanum? Derban, according to? The Yiram. Right. Yiram, quoted in the Gilyon Esha, says this was a takanas chachamim. It was takanas chachamim in order to perform a hidden mitzvah. So according to Yerim, it doesn't make any sense why the Tosfos would paskin l'chumra. But if you paskin like, what was the other approach we had? Lach Moshe Sinai. It might be more of a deraisa status. So then, that makes a lot more sense. That might be what's behind Tosfos. He doesn't tell us what the reasoning behind it, but maybe he's saying that, no, it's Lach Moshe Sinai. The Gilyon Ashas had a svarim on his own, he mentioned that. But maybe you could find such a shitent by Tosfos, yeah.
Eitan made a Ha'or and Seder.
Yeah.
That the Rosh writes that even though it's the Rabban, you still go to Chumra.
Ah.
Because it's like Chaviv and Mitzvah of Chaviv.
Exactly.
And then, right, but then So we saw in the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam, that Eitan pointed out to the Kesef Mishnah, says, sounds like he says that it's the Rabbanon, and you still go home, he says, because it's not a tier club, do it anyway. So you're wondering if,
right, so those are both. So we'll read the Rush. Let's focus on the Kesef Mishnah for a moment. There you guys. So the Kesef Mishnah says, if it's not tircha, you should just do it. So you have to understand that concept. What exactly is that really true? Do we always, whenever a chumrah just easy to accomplish, you should just do any chumrah possible? So that is an interesting sheet of Kesef Mishnah. You have to understand, I guess, on a hashkafic point of view, whether that's really true. You just take chumras upon yourselves because it's easy to do, or not. The Kesef Mishnah says it here, and that's why he explains it. It's really a derabanan, but it's easy to accomplish l'chumra. Why not do it?
Nothing to listen. Today.
Well, very much. It's a hashkafa.
Very
hey, it's, you know, coming after Purim, right? Purim, a little lighter. It's an easy way to get us into the deeper levels of learning and stuff. So that's just, again, great. It's a great point, guys, and I think it's a great shita to know in general about chumras, this Kesef Mishnah. When there's no tircha, you should do chumras. And how far are you willing to go? How far should we go? What's considered tircha? What's not considered tircha? It also has to be a legitimate chumra as well. But that's something to keep in mind. The Rush, right? What did the Rush write again? What were you saying? The Rush writes also, you should go to chumra. The reason being, mishum chavivas ha-mitzvah. So what does that mean? Mishum chavivas ha-mitzvah? What does it sound like? Sounds like the Yireim. Right? Yireim said, what was the reason for Nanuim? It hit their mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, you don't just like do it, just be yosef the mitzvah, doing a tila, pick it up and put it down. When you're going to do the mitzvah, you should do it with a lot of excitement. Shake it. Get into it a little bit. Chavivas ha-mitzvah, hit the mitzvah, we'll assume for now it's really the same thing. So although it's only a midrabanan, the Rush points out that since it's chavivas ha-mitzvah to shake it, you should do it nonetheless. Interesting, you know, that's an interesting concept also of a chavivas ha-mitzvah. That's really, you could really create your own chavivas ha-mitzvah. You could, you know, the fact that you could do more shakings and stuff, that house somehow is an accomplishment, a keem in chavivas ha-mitzvah / hid ha-mitzvah.
For 11.
Yeah.
Do we ever find such gestures, like by tzitzis, shake our tzitzis or our tefillin,
right. That's true. Well, here everyone agrees there is a concept of nanuim. The question is, how many are we doing?
I disagree with myself. By sitzitz, we have it during Shema. We wrap it in our hands and we kiss it.
Right. I'm not sure. I don't know what's behind the whole wrapping.
That could be chavivus.
Right.
We say sitzitz, so we have them.
Right, so kissing, I'm not sure if that's shaking necessarily. We do find other gestures.
It's mitzvah, though. It's not exactly shaking.
Right, so I'm saying, like, so he's asking particularly shaking. We do find elsewhere chavivus a mitzvah by kissing.
If shaking is has generally been accepted as a chavivus gesture, so let's apply it to everything.
Right.
Just shake it all.
Right, so I would say that, you know,
exactly.
I'm saying so particular certain gestures are more relevant to certain mitzvahs.
Right.
And you don't kiss every mitzvah. You kiss mezuzah, tefillin, sefer Torah,
thing,
tittis. You know, you don't kiss a lulav. You know.
Right. So there must be some.
So strong connection.
Aspect of the lulav that's endearing.
Right.
For some reason.
Right, made the leaves. I mean, you shake an esrog, you don't really get anything out of it, but at least the leaves and like of the lulav. Right, you shake the smell off a little bit.
No, the lulav is definitely a shakeable object.
Right, yeah, exactly. The other minim are, but maybe only certain minim are able to shake. Tzitzis, I guess you could shake tzitzis, but you're not going to shake a mezuzah. When do you apply shaking? When don't you? So we're saying maybe things that have leaves on it, you could shake leaves.
Sefer Torah, theoretically, when you're doing hadwa, I can see some shaking going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. Maybe it's not respectful, but maybe it is.
Right. So either as I don't know, there's no real source for the shaking in the lulav, unless you understand like the Gilyon Ashas, it's halacha mish Sinai. But if you assume just it's a general question of simcha, why dafka here are we shaking it and not elsewhere? Same question. Why do you kiss certain mitzvahs not all mitzvahs? So.
I
forgot that pasuk. You're right.
It's an inherent idea within the lulav that the nature of them is to be shaken. Those other mitzvahs, like they're more inclined to be kissed or more inclined to do that. There's actually an explicit pasuk that says like it's more inclined to be shaken, and that's like,
very good. Right. I did forget that. Tosos and the Rush and Alav Yisrael, you're right. Thank you, Yoni. Do quote a pasuk Adziranu Atayar that the yar, the trees, the branches, the leaves should be dancing and singing. That's how we do shaking. So there's a source for it.
Maybe it's the more natural element. So you're like sort of bring them back to their natural, like they're still not naturally alive, but these things are naturally
alive. Going back to the life. Oh, the chai.
We're bringing back life, these things that, you know.
Maybe back to the Gion HaShas said before, chai, the chias, that's showing the life of it.
I think it's going back to the din of Nidonim Alamayim.
Okay.
You're judging on the water because you're showing that these things need water in Tinus. It says that they need water to live, so that's why you pick them up specifically. Mm-hmm. So when you shake them, if you shake something dead, maybe it won't actually shake.
Show the liveliness.
Show the liveliness. And
The things that grow in nature, those type of things. All right, so all these different ideas are all coming together nicely. This is definitely a very different type of shir. This is a machshava. It's not every day, but definitely fun, unique, different.
Every
post Purim. But again, it's from the Gemara. We're not bringing anything new. I think it's important to even see the Agatha Gemaras, even when doing a Ian Shir. Okay, fine. So those are some of the Shitas and Tosfos, the Rush, and the Kesem Mishnah. I forgot the Kesem Mishnah. Thank you guys for that regarding this issue. Now let's, I think that really finishes the sugya. And I knew him. Let's read Vayter now, the Mishnah Gemara. I want to move quickly to finally get to the Shomei Ka'ona sugya. I'm not sure if any of you guys saw it yet, but we could, the last 8 minutes, we could read this Mishnah Gemara that comes up, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Mishnah writes as follows. Misha Baba Derech V'lo Haya B'yado Lulav. Someone, he's walking outside somewhere, he came back from the journey somewhere, he doesn't have a lulav. Litol Li Chashikonesh L'beiso. And when he enters the house, he should pick up the Dal Minim to be Yotzi the Mitzvah. Yital shulchano, he should take it on a shulchan. What does that mean? He takes it on a shulchan. The Gemara will explain that if you're eating your suda, you should stop your suda in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of dalamin. Lo notal shachar, so you didn't take it in the morning. Yital bein harbaim, you should take it in the evening or mincha time. Shekal yom kashul lulav, the entire day is kashul lulav, based on the Mishnah also in Megillah that any mitzvah that's mitzvah of the yom, the entire day is the zman. Any mitzvah that's at night, the entire night is the zman of the mitzvah. Here too also, the mitzvah of the lulav is bayom, therefore the entire day you could take it. So if you didn't do it in the morning, you could take it bein harbayim. So the Gemara says, Amris notla al shulchana. The Mishnah says you could take it on the shulchan, which means lememra, the mafsik, that you should take a break in your suda in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of dal minim. Rumini, the Gemara asks, based on the Mishnah in Shabbos, I believe this is right. Im hischilu im afsikin. If you started to do, let's say a suda, or you started to go to the barber, whatever it is, you don't stop to do the mitzvah. So do you stop what you're doing to do mitzvah, or don't you stop to do a mitzvah? Amar of Safra lokasha had ikashals biyom had lekashals biyom. So it depends if you have time in the day. If you're plenty, a few hours to do the mitzvah still, and you're eating the suda, you don't have to stop the suda. You could continue your suda, finish the suda, and after the suda, you could do the mitzvah lulav. But if the time is running out, it's close to the evening, so you should definitely stop the suda in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of dal minim. So on this, actually, the one more line. Amar Rava, my kusha. What's the question? Why does Gemara give such an answer depending on how much time you have left? Dilma, hadiraisa, hadirabana. No, depends if the mitzvah is deraisa or not. Our Mishnah, which talks about dal minim, which is clearly deraisa. So for deraisa, you have to stop whatever you're doing to be mekayim mitzvah deraisa. The Mishnah in Shabbos was talking about tefilas mincha, davening mincha. Tefilah is only derabanan. So to stop, you don't have to stop eating in order to be kind of mitzvah derabanan. So that's why the Mishnah in Shabbos says not to stop. Continue eating, continuing whatever you're doing, and later on you'll do the mitzvah derabanan. Yeah, Chaim?
So Rava says the Mishnah is only talking about the first day?
What?
So Rava says the Mishnah is only talking about the first day?
Yeah. And the Gemara, we'll see at the end of the Gemara, the Gemara will prove that, but yes. So on this, the Gemara actually, in the back they point out, this is one of the rayas the Ramban brings against the Rambam, that tefillah is only midirabanan. Right, who brings that in the back? Let's see quickly. If I could find it really quickly here. Right, so the Marot Tzchiyas asks, he says, I understand this the Gemara here. The Kaimalon Gam Tefillah Deraisa, Dichsiv Lavdo B'chol Vavchem. And the Sifri says, Ezu Avodah Shibaleh, what's the Avodah that takes place in the heart? Harei Omer, is that Tefillah? That's Tefillah. So why is the Gemara here saying that tefillah is only midirabanan? Ayn Ramban, if you look at Ramban, what he writes is Hasagos to Sefer Mitzvos, who asks this question on Rambam. If you see clearly from this Gemara that tefillah is only midirabanan. Alright, so you can look at the end of Ramban.
Tefillah
mincha? Tefillah mincha. The set times. Tefillah, the concept of tefillah would be deraisa, but the particular three tefillahs, maybe not.
Right. It's a regular davening.
Right, no, but right, the concept of tefillah exists. B'makom sar.
Right, so but in that way they would differ. Let's say a non-asad time and no sar.
They would also.
When the Ramban say that that's
too. He would still say it's their b'makom sar.
Fine, and but the Ramban would say.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying the concept of tefillah of
and a tefillah.
Right, fine, okay. Right. Tefillah, you're saying tefillah, but sorry, whatever it is. Okay, have your. But yeah. Okay. So, Tosos, do we have time we have left? Let's do this Tosos on top quickly here. Tosos in regards to Kiddush. So, on this Deraisa Derabanan point, Tosos asks the following question. My Kusha Dilmi or Hal Deraisa or Hal Derabanan? Now, when it comes to Mitzvah Deraisa, that's when you stop what you're doing. When it comes to Mitzvah Derabanan, you could continue what you're doing. Tema, Vare Kiddush Hayom Deraisa. Isn't Kiddush Hayom on Shabbos? The mitzvah kiddush we do, and it's a din deraisa. Kedamrin v'misha meisu. The Gemara in Brachos tells us it's deraisa. Noshim chayavos b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. They have the chiv deraisa. So clearly, the Gemara calls it davar Torah, the concept of kiddush. So it is deraisa. But yet, hod demash b'perek nazir shu midirabanan. The Gemara nazir, which implies it's only midirabanan kiddush. Ayayin hu midirabanan. Only referring the need for yayin, the need for wine in kiddush. That concept is derabanan. The darsh lesa ha'yayin. Mitzvah kiyayin harushus reading more there. We come reading my he kiddush of Abdalasa mushpa v'omid b'hu. Umishani kiddush atzmo deraisa. Fine. The Gemara in the end says kiddush itself is deraisa. The concept of the yayin is only midirabanan. Fine. So kiddush is deraisa. That being true, v'afil hachi, even though it's deraisa kiddush, Amar Rav Yosi bereisha arvei psochim the ein mafsikin upaskin and hasam halacha Rav Yosi ber Shabbos k'Rav Yehuda ber Pesach. The Gemara in Psachim paskins that you don't have to stop your suda to be mekayin the mitzvah of kiddush. If kiddush is deraisa, shouldn't you have to stop your suda to be mekayin the mitzvah of kiddush? Deraisa, we paskin here. Deraisa, you have to stop for lulav. You have to stop from the shulchan. You should have to stop your suda when it comes to be mekayin the mitzvah of kiddush, which is deraisa. The Tosis responds: Yeshlomer the shiny kiddush hayom sheyachol lekadosh bayom kibalayla. And the other gears have ubalayla. So you have a lot of time. Veleka lemechash lepshiusa kulihai. Since you could be mekayin them, it's referring to the Gemara Psachim, the Friday night kiddush. So if I'm not mekayin the mitzvah kiddush Friday night, I can be mekayin the next day also. There's plenty of time. There's nothing to worry about. It's a technical answer that there's leka lemechash lepshiusa. Fine. That's his first answer. Yeah. Okay, and the second answer he writes is v'yod lefisha osik b'suda Shabbos. Since you're being osik with the suda Shabbos anyways, lo chashin and kulei hashem yisatzel b'kiddush hayom. The case in Pesachim is you're eating erev Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos itself. You don't have to be concerned that you're going to forget about kiddush because kiddush is all about the suda. If I'm eating the suda of Shabbos, of course I'm going to remember to be mekayim the mitzvah of kiddush as well.
Oh, interesting.
So that could be a different answer based on the ideas of that the whole you sold about kiddush needs to be connected to the meal.
So but does it have to only be in the beginning of the meal?
That's what he says.
Uh-huh. So that would be okay, that wouldn't work here then, I'm saying.
That'd be another answer.
But how would that answer it though?
And therefore you're not gonna stop the meal here in the middle because the meal of true kiddush is the right thing, but it's the whole essence, the whole purpose of it was supposed to start off the meal.
But isn't there still a mitzvah of kiddush, though? You're saying if you're already eating your meal, you already started, there's no
then
concept.
You're lacking in part of the mitzvah of kiddush.
But if you end your suda and then you start another one, then you can be mekayim.
Right. Well, maybe that's part of the other answer, that there's other times to do it.
Okay, all right. So maybe we'll stop here, I guess. Maybe tomorrow we'll make some ha'aros on the concept of kiddush deraisa and quickly go through the rest of the Gemara here.